Blog Talk Radio.
I dream of a city called glory, so bright and so fair. When I entered the gate, I cried, "Holy!" The angel, oh, met me there. They carried me from mansion to then I said, I want to see Jesus, the one who died for all. I bow on my knees and cry, as I entered the gates of that city. Talked with Mark, sat down with Timothy, but I said, Timothy,
I'm
God. We serve a mighty God. Amen. Well, I welcome you tonight to Enterprisement Media. This is Sound Doctrine with Dr. Ventura coming to you live from Imperial Beach. And we'd like to thank Brother Nathan on the spot, for his time that he's given us to be a guest here tonight. And we just praise the Lord. And we're going to open up tonight. We have Brother J.P. Alba with us. And Jose Alba is going to give us a prayer. J.P.'s he's about 12 years old. He's with the youth group, and he's a youth leader. And God has great things for his life, and we're sure that you'll enjoy spending time with us tonight. We're going to study Psalm number 1. So before we do that, we'd like to thank the audience, the listening audience around the world and throughout the United States, on the East Coast, West Coast, and the Midwest, and we thank you for joining us this evening. And we hope that this show, this program, is going to be a blessing to you. We hope that tonight you'll receive something from the Lord. And so without any further ado, Brother Alba, would you please pray us in?
Dear Lord, we just want to thank you for another week of learning about you, Lord. We hope to learn more and more on you, Lord. And I hope that that the message gets across, and we all learn more and have a great time learning about you, Lord, and of all the things that you have done. And we just really want to thank you for all that you have done, and hopefully each week we learn something new about you, Lord. And hopefully next week is going to be great, too. So, that's about it. So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I want to thank you, brother. I'd like to say something to the listeners out there. If you're listening in this evening and you're on the Internet, we want you to know that Blog Talk Radio is responsible for the ads on this program, that we have no control of what the pop-ups are and the pop-ups are not. And so if there's something there that you found offensive this evening, I've found some things that I don't really think go along with Christian broadcasting. But, you know, have the spot, and this is our spot. And so we know that Enterprisement Media does not endorse some of these ads, and neither does Nathan on the spot. And so if you've found a pop-up and it's disappointed you, please know that we have no control whatsoever over the pop-ups. And we get disappointed ourselves sometimes that some people think because the word spiritual in it, it belongs to Christianity. And that's not true. You know, the Mormons call themselves spiritual, and they call themselves Christian, and Jehovah's Witnesses do, and many other organizations and cults throughout the world, and they have nothing to do with Christianity, and witchcraft has nothing to do with Christianity, and there's spiritualism in all of that thing. And Joel said, you know, ask the question, what spirit came from you? In the book of Job, you find that question. And so sometimes we want to clarify that there's no connection. There's no connection, and I can't emphasize that enough. You know, we're God-fearing men. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation, grace through faith and salvation. And we don't believe in a lot of the things that you might read in some of the pop-ups here. And I just wanted to let you know that you know, you don't have to use the computer. You can connect to us directly any time of the broadcast. You can call in. The number is 347-945-5416. That's 347-945-5416. And we'd love to hear from you. And, you know, if you found some of those ads, which I don't particularly care for myself, if you should find that bothers you, shut down the computer and call the number 347-945-5416. And if you wish to speak to me, all you have to do is press number 1. That's number 1. And so, again, to the listeners, that, you know, Enterprisement Media, Dr. Ventura, Nathan on the spot, any guests on this program, we have no control over the ads and the pop-ups that might pop up on the side of this program. We're using Blog Talk Radio, and that's where we lease this spot from. And so we just want you to know that Dr. Ventura is a guest here, And I would remind the listeners that if you are did hit the guest spot, you did hit number one, you're on standby to speak to the host, that you would remember that you're live on the air and any background noise that you're making will be picked up. And so we'd like to give the glory to the Lord tonight. We'd like to read Psalm number one before we begin. And Psalm number one says, "Blessed is the man that walketh in the counsel of that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Amen. And how true, how true. And if you notice the position of the book of Psalms, the position of the book of Psalms is it comes after the book of Job. And Job is a type of a Jew in the tribulation. And if you're an avid student, if you're a novice, if you just take time to look up the word parable in a concordance, and you'll find that the Bible says that Job continued his parable. And so although the story of Job is true, it is also a parable. It also has a prophetic meaning. And there are 42 verses or 42 chapters in the book of Job, and in the tribulation there are 42 months. And the Jews suffer through the tribulation, and at the end of the tribulation, they're rewarded. And they receive the promised land, and those who have come through the tribulation, the nation of Israel, and they're going to get their promised land. And so Job gets rewarded at the end of Job. He gets rewarded, and he receives from his blessings from God. He gets tenfold, just like a Jew at the end of the tribulation. And so Job's the type of Jew. But then we get to Psalms, the next book, and God is the book's arranged. If you have a King James Bible, and I hope that's all you're using, because you'll find that, you know, and I've said this before, other Bibles are not correct. They're not even Bibles, and they have copyrights, and two books can't be the same, and the NIV is 60,000 words less than a King James Version, and there's verses missing. The blood of Jesus is missing. They reduced Jesus from son to servant, and they reduced salvation in Acts. They changed it to salvation by water instead of faith in Jesus Christ. But notice where it is. God has chronologically placed these books in our Bible in a particular order, and this is the order in which the Lord would have us. And so after the tribulation, we come to Psalm 1, after the book of Job and his tribulation, and Psalm 1, verse 1 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Well, amen for that. The book, you know, the book of praises, that's really what Psalm is, and the book of praises begins with the happy man. Job is the unhappy man. Psalms is the happy man. Proverbs is the wise man. Ecclesiastics is the worldly man. Song of Solomon is the heavenly man. And so here we have in verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1, the psalm says the word blessed. And blessed means happy. And you say, well, how is that? Well, Genesis 30:13 says, talking about Leah, and Leah said, "Happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed." The daughters will call, "Happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed." And so the word blessed occurs 45 times in Psalms in the first section. And that's from Psalm 1 to Psalm 41. And in Psalm 41, you see, it ends with blessed. So the word signifies what we call a beatitude, like you find in the Sermon on the Mount. Seven of the Psalms begin with blessed. Psalm 1, 3, Psalm 1, Psalm 32, Psalm 41, you'll find Psalm 112, 119, 128, and 144. They all begin with blessing. Blessing. Verse 1 says that the way to happiness, the way for a Christian to find happiness, is to be found in a triplet. In other words, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That's the walk. Nor standing in the way of sinners. That's the stand. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. That's the city. So you must be careful as a Christian. Be careful where you walk. Be careful where you stand. Be careful where you sit. And your walk today should be in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that walk today you can find written in Colossians chapter 2, verse number 6. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 6 says, As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. That's where your walk should be. Your walk should be in Jesus Christ. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So he's going to walk in Jesus Christ. And you stand. Your stand should be in the power and the might of Jesus Christ. In the power and the might of Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 says, Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Not your might, his might. You know, some people don't know that God put the spirit of might on Elijah. Elijah was up in the mountain with Ahab, and the Bible says that when they saw that rain coming in the book, that he ran down, and Ahab was racing his chariot down the hill, but Elijah got down there first. He outran the chariot with the horse, and he was found in the city. And you know what that meant? That God had put the spirit of might upon him. And God can do the same for you. In your situation, he could put the spirit of might on you. You never know when, but he can do it. And so your walk should be in him. Your stand should be in him. That is in the power of his might. And your seat, well, your seat now, where is the Christian seat? Well, the Christian seat, of course, is in heavenly places. Ephesians 2:6 says, and has raised us, the saved, the born-again believer, the Christian, the brother and sister in Christ. He has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. We are the body of Christ. He is the head. Wherever he is, we're attached. And if we're the body and the head's in heaven, then we're sitting in heavenly places with Jesus Christ. Let's look at Psalm verse 1, and we'll go back over and we'll look at verse number 2. Psalm verse 1, chapter 1, verse number 2 says, so verse 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Amen. But verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. So in verse 1, we see the negatives. Not in the counsel of the ungodly, not in the way of sinners, not in the seat of the scornful. And the cure, the antidote, the cure to these things is in verse 2. If you do verse 2, you will not be found doing verse 1. Remember, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Well, if you're walking with the Lord, you know, you're not going to be walking with the ungodly. Amen? In Romans 1:1, Paul talks about separation. Separation is not always a bad thing. Separation can be a good thing. You know, the Bible says evil communications corrupt. If you're hanging out with people or using bad communication, bad and foul language, and bad ideas and worldly thoughts, then that's going to corrupt your good manners. Evil communications corrupts good manners. But I want you to know, my brother, that the power of the Holy Spirit in you, the power of God in you, and the words of God when you speak them in the wisdom of God will corrupt evil communication. Amen. So separation is not a bad thing. Paul, Romans 1:1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated onto the gospel of God. There's a positive separation. Separated from the world unto the gospel of God. Yes, we're in the world, and we're not to be so strange that the world looks at us strange, but the world should know that there's something different about you and me. They should know you and I. They should know by the way we dress. They should know by the way we speak. They should know when they see us leaving our house with our Bibles. They should know when people come to visit us at our house with our Bibles. They should know we go to church. They should know that we witness for Jesus Christ, and they should know that we live a clean, holy life. Doesn't mean sinless, blameless. And so the antidote, of course, is found in verse 1. And separation is a good thing sometimes. And you see the progress of sin. You begin by 1, taking the advice of ungodly counsel. Number two, you're in the way with them. Number three, then you wind up making fun of the Bible and of God. That's what happens. You know, Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And amen, he is. But there's another way. And it's the way of wickedness. It's the way to hell. And by the way, nobody has to go to hell. That's a choice people make. You can choose not to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. You can choose to live your life separated from God. God has given you that choice. God doesn't make a person love you. You have to choose to love God. But let me tell you, he loved you first. He died for you while you were yet a sinner. 2 Peter 3, 1 through 5 says this. It says, This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you in both, which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles and the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. And by the way, that's uniformitarianism. Everything's continuing the way it was. For this they willingly are ignorant of. This is what Peter says, that by the word of God the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. You know, they're ignorant of that. And listen, Christians can get to that place even in their walk. They can get numb. They can get numb by people who are preaching that they're going to go through the tribulation. And people are preaching that, well, you don't have to worry because we've all been waiting. Well, when's it going to happen? When's it going to happen? Listen, you don't know when it's going to happen. I don't know when it's going to happen. But I know one thing, it's going to happen because the Bible says it's going to happen. There's going to be a rapture. It's going to happen. The Bible says that the Christians are not appointed to wrath. We're not going to see wrath. And so we have to understand those things, that there are scoffers. And when you start questioning God as a Christian man or a Christian woman or a boy or a girl, and you start asking God, you know, well, where are you? Where are you? Then you become a scoffer. He'll be here. Don't think that it's just continued and get into worldly thought. So you find that, number one, taking the advice of ungodly counsel. Number two, you know, you're in the way with them. And then number three, what happens? You wind up making fun of the Bible. And standing in the way of sinners can mean not only being with them on a project, you know, on a project, but also blocking their way from finding the truth. Did you know that? Christians can block people's way from finding the truth. Proverbs 1, verses 10 to 14 says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us work privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our house with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us and let us have one purse. You know, it's not just talking about having an ungodly project or doing something ungodly with the ungodly people who get you to go in their way. But you can block the way of somebody finding the truth. But notice what the Lord says in verse 2. He says, the gospel says, what's his delight? His delight is in the law of the Lord. And when you delight in the law of the Lord, you esteem it. You lift it up above it more than your necessary food. And rejoice over it as though you found $1 million in gold. Amen. That's right. It's like you found $1 million in gold. It's an amazing thing. Job said over in Job 23, verse 12, he said, neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Amen. More than my necessary food. And, you know, amen, Job would know. And so he said that, you know, people don't understand what it means to esteem and to have something more precious. But every one of us in our homes, we have something we call very precious. And we take care of that thing. And we put it away so we don't break it. And it might be a piece of jewelry. And when we're done wearing it, we'll take it off, put it off in our jewelry box, and it's something we wear. And we esteem it. It's very precious to us. And that's the kind of thing that Job is going to esteem the Word of God above all. You know, Psalm 119, 162 says, I rejoice at thy word, and as one that findeth great spoils, like if on $1 million. And you know what? This Bible is the word of God. God has given you his word. And oh, how precious that word is. And you should esteem your Bible. Now, I see men, and I know it's just a book, they say, and it's the word of God's contained in it. But listen, this is the word of God. It's precious. It's valuable. And you should treat it like your precious things. You should esteem it as a wonderful thing. God has given you his word. God's communicated with you. Amen. Listen, Buddha's dead. You're not communicating with anybody. Muhammad's dead. He's not communicating with anybody. But God is communicating with you through his spirit, through his word. It says also in verse number 2, in his law does he meditate day and night. You know, to meditate day and night means to read it in the daytime and to think about it after. And after the sun sets, when the lights go out, amen, what do? We meditate. We think about those things, the things that accompany the blessings of man in the Old Testament. Good company, good books, Genesis to Ruth, good fruit, good success, good health, good thoughts, position. Notice verse 3. Verse 3 says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Amen. The first three verses are match meets to Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8. Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8. Let's just run over there real quick. I said Jeremiah 17, verse 7 and 8 says, blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters and that spreadeth out her roots by the river and shall not see when heat comes, but her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, and neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Amen. You know, when I was a young man in Bristol, Connecticut, there was a park and called Rockford or something of that name, and we used to go to that park, and there was this gigantic oak tree with the most gorgeous leaves that would spread in the summertime. It would shade the grassy green area, and it was planted right near a little brook. And that little brook of water ran by, and I would stand under that tree and look into the brook, and I could see the roots came out from under the ground and out of the bank into the water. And that's what the Lord is talking about. Get your roots in, and if your roots are into that water, and water in the Bible is the Holy Spirit. And you know what? It represents the Holy Spirit. You can get washed in the Word of God. You can get washed in the blood of the Lamb and draw that water out. Draw that Holy Spirit, and it'll make you big. It'll make you grow. You can't have great leaves if you have a little tree trunk, and you have to have nourishment. You get that nourishment that from the Word of God. Psalm 1 is really a picture of Jesus Christ in verses 1 through 3. The man of sin, you find in verses 4 through 6. And he shall be like a tree planted. The tree planted is one that God planted. And it's planted by rivers of water. Amen. Rivers of water. Listen to John chapter 7, verse 38. And I know you probably said, what's he talking about, the Holy Spirit and water? Well, I'm going to show you. Because Dr. Ventura doesn't want to tell you anything that's wrong. And so I want you to see it for yourself. And I don't ever want you to leave listening to this program and then just put your notes down and put your Bible down and not go back and look at it, because I want you to look at it. Don't take Peter's word for it. Don't take my mom's word for it. Don't take my dad's word for it. Don't take your pastor's word for it. You go make sure it's right. That's your responsibility, to know the truth. And the scriptures say in John 7:38, and I'm over here in John 7:38, and Jesus, listen, he stood, he was in the temple. It says, and the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried. And, you know, people are afraid to go out. You know, they'll go in a stadium, and they'll scream for their team, and they'll yell at home, and they'll have Super Bowl parties, and they know every name of every player. They know every game they've won. They've gone to the Super Bowl. They can't give you the 12 names of the 12 apostles. It's a shame. They'll shout and scream for the football team. They're not afraid to stand in a bar or in their living room with a group of people and holler and scream, "Go Charger! Go Giants!" And they won't even yell for Jesus. Well, Jesus was he wasn't afraid and he wasn't intimidated, and he stood up and says, and he cried. He wasn't weeping. He cried loud. He says, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." And there's that water. Amen? And the people looked at Jesus and said, "Oh, what's he talking about?" Well, that's that river of water. So three things are true about this man. Number one, Psalm 1, he bringeth forth his fruit in his season. He bringeth forth his fruit in his season. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 2. 2 Timothy 4, 2. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Amen. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. So he shall be planted like a tree in the rivers of water. Listen, he bringeth forth his fruit in his season, instant in season and out of season. His leaf also shall not wither, as a fig tree that dried up from the roots. Remember, Matthew 2:21-19, and whosoever and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You know why? Because number one, his roots would be deep and spread out. Number two, the heat would not offend his leaf. Number three, he'll have nothing to worry about when the drought comes. And number four, he will yield fruit of the Spirit until he dies. Amen. Well, there's a whole lot in that psalm, isn't there? Galatians 5:22-23 says, let me read it for you. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. There is no spiritual law against it, and there is no physical law against the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. You are an overcomer. You have victory in Jesus Christ. He has already won the war. All you have to do is claim it. Amen. And we have the victory. We ought to live a victorious life. Blessed is he who is not offended. Amen. Verse 4 of Psalms, and we'll wrap this up, that the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. So here the ungodly man is contrasted with the godly. The ungodly man is like chaff which is driven away. His kind are like chaff, which is worthless residue. That's what he produces. That's his fruit. Three things are true about them, and you find them in verses 4 to 6. Now, verse number 5 says, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteousness. They shall not be able to stand in the judgment. Why? They're going to fall down. They're going to fall down. They can't stand in the judgment. Amen? Oh, God's mighty God we serve. Look at verse number 6. Finally, verse number 6 says, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So in verse 5, we found out, number 1, they shall not be able to stand in the judgment. They will fall down. Number 2, they will not appear in the congregation of the righteous. Well, what's the congregation of the righteous? Well, you can find the congregation of the righteous in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 and 23, simply says, but ye are come unto Mount Sinai, he's talking to save, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Hallelujah. Amen. So number one, about that ungodly guy, they're not going to stand in the judgment. Number two, they will not appear in the congregation of the righteous. They can't get into heaven. They'll be judged, but they can't get in. And their way, that's what he said in verse 6, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Well, what is the way of the righteous? The way of the righteous is Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. That's what Jesus said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Before Abraham was, I am. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Muhammad is not the way, the truth, and the life. Joseph Smith is not the way, the truth, and the life. Who does not the way to the Lord? Jesus Christ is the way. And that's what he says in the Psalms. He says, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. Yes, Jesus. But the way of the ungodly shall perish. The way of the ungodly, their way, and their ways shall perish. If we just skip on over, and we'll wrap this up in a second. I'm mindful of everybody's time. And I have a special for you I'd like to put on in a minute or two. I have a youth group, and I have some young Christian people who are going to come here, and they're going to sing a song for you, a special, while you take a break. But if we'll look at Psalm 49:12 clearly says, nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. He is like the beasts that perish. Verse 17. For when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. And listen, when you don't see a funeral and the hearse come and the limousines, there's no U-Haul behind that. You're not taking any of that stuff that you pride yourself that's more important than your Sunday in church and your jobs and your money and your materialism and your sports. God's not going to ask you when you get to heaven, son, who was your team? Are you an Italian or an Irish man? He wants to know, are you right? Amen. My goodness. Verse 17, for when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. Though while he liveth, he blessed his soul, and men will praise thee. Oh, look at all he has. What a wonderful life. When thou doest well to thyself. Oh, I did all this for me. I own a mansion. I own a business. I got a Mercedes. I'm driving Beamers. Look at me. Amen. He shall go to the generation of his fathers. That's those who taught him that. You know that Jesus said some people, they have the father is the devil? You know why? They reject Christ. They're born into sin. They haven't received the Lord Jesus Christ. Scripture says he shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see light. Man that is in honor and understand it not is like the beast that perisheth. Man, we go out on that pier, Brother Lewis and myself and Brother Fred, Brother Raymond. Oh, we get out there and we hand out tracts. You know what it's like to me? Brother Lewis walking down the pier and yelling, hey, you're fishing for fish, but we're fishing for men. And people saying to Brother Lewis, what are you fishing for? We're fishing for Jesus. We're fishing for men. But the truth is this. It's just no different than fishing for fish. You got that fish on the hook. You reel him in. You cut him up. He's on the frying pan. You put that worm back in, and the next one bites it. That's just like people going to hell. You're telling them about Jesus, and they're watching their friends go to hell, and they're all around them, just like the one in the frying pan. And they're still biting the worm. They're still taking the devil's bait. You can't go to hell in a Cadillac. You can't go to hell in a Lincoln. You might get killed in one and end up there. Listen, God's not going to send a man to hell for being a murderer, a rapist, a robber, a sinner. God will only send a man to hell for rejecting Jesus Christ. That's the sin that causes a man to go to hell. And people wandering around preaching you can lose your salvation. How are you going to lose your salvation? You didn't earn it. It was a gift of God to start with. My goodness, there's some garbage being taught out there. That's why we call this program Sound Doctrine. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to take a break here. Well, I want to thank the Lord, but I want you to note that in Psalm 1, you see the Old Testament work set up, personalized righteousness versus personalized ungodliness. And, you know, we make a spiritual and devotional application of that. Go ahead, I'll take that call.
Hello?
Hello? Yes, sir.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
My name is Sherry.
Hello,
can
Sherry.
Can you hear me? Hi, Brother Peter. I just wanted to let you know that, first of all, we need to teach our children the word, and I am very happy that JP did the opening prayer. And I want to thank you, Father Peter, for bringing the true word of the Lord Jesus Christ to the world for us.
Excuse me, do you call me Father Peter? You mean Brother Peter?
Brother Peter.
Amen, sister. Well, I want to thank you for calling, Sherry, and I certainly appreciate the opportunity to bring forth the word of God, and I think the youth is the strength of the church, and the old man is the wisdom.
Amen.
So, amen.
Okay, thank you.
Well, you have a wonderful evening, and the Lord bless you. Thank you for
calling.
Bye-bye. The number here at the station is 347-945-5416. And you can call in, and if you press 1, you can reach right to the host, and you can get right through to me. And right now I have the youth group with us, and if they come up here one at a time, and when we speak first, I would like to have these young people talk to you for a minute and just tell you who they are and how old they are, and then we're going to allow them to sing for you tonight. And what is your name?
Savannah
Bro. Oh, you have to speak louder than that. They won't hear you.
I'm Savannah Bro.
Savannah Bro. How old are you?
9.
And Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior?
Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior.
Amen. And what's your name?
I'm Kiara Hansen.
Kiara Hansen. How old are you?
9.
You're 9. Is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Yes, he is. And what's your name?
Aiden.
Aiden, what's your last name? You
Bro.
Forgot it? Oh, Aiden, bro. How old are you, Aiden?
I'm 5.
You're 5 years old? Amen. You is your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Okay. Hold that call, please. So we're going to allow our youth to have a song here, and you can take a break and enjoy the music. Sing for us.
Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. I am Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Right arm, left arm, Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Right arm, left arm, right foot, Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Right up, left up, left foot, Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Right up, left up, left foot, chin up, Father Abraham. Had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Right arm, left arm, left foot, chin up, turn around, Father Abraham. Had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Right arm, left arm, left foot, chin up, turn around, sit down.
Amen. Hallelujah. That was wonderful. Thank you. Thank you so much. And the Lord bless you. Amen. What a blessing. We serve a mighty God, don't we? Amen. Glory to the Lord. I'm telling you, that's the youth group. My wife, Marilyn, has been working with the children. We have a Bible study at our home on Tuesday nights in the Imperial Beach. And we're at 1041 Connecticut Street, and certainly welcome to join us. We have adults, and we have a separate class for children. And, well, I'll tell you, I just get amazed when I see those children, the Spirit of God in them, and, you know, 8, 9, and 5 years old, and love Jesus Christ. You know, a man has to be educated out of Christ. You tell a child Jesus Christ is the Lord, they don't say, no, he's not. Go tell an adult that. And it's just amazing. And then our children go to these public schools and get in these schools, and the first thing we want to teach them is that we evolve from a slime pit, and, you know, that we die and we go back into a hole in the ground. And what a shame. It's a shame that our children are subject to that nonsense. Take their hope away from them. But I've been blessed. I have on the line with me this evening Brother Andrew and Brother Lewis, and I took that alphabetically. And Brother Andrew, are you with us?
I sure am.
And how about
you,
Brother
me?
Lewis?
I'm here.
Do I have Brother Lewis with me?
This is Brother
Hello,
Andrew.
Oh, I see. I thought I had Brother Lewis in there. Well, what do you think, Brother?
Well, I think wonderful. God has blessed you surmountably. He has blessed you because what you preach tonight is stirring my heart, and I've been working for the Lord and loving him for many, many years. But I'm not bragging about that at all. I'm just saying that your program has escalated my life in the depth of belief that we must have. And we, as Christians, we go about our business every day, but be as wise as a serpent and gentle as a dove, who you associate with and who get, because Satan has a way of pulling you down. He's there. He doesn't know what you're thinking, but he sure can put things in your mind. So be as wise as a serpent and gentle as a dove, saith the Lord. So I'm amazed the teaching Dr. Peter gives you here. It's a wonderful thing. No matter how many years you have been saved or whatnot, but to hear it and remember one thing, study to show thyself approved. Study to show thyself approved. What does that mean? That means that you take the word and you look on it and you ask the Lord, pray first before you read the word, and lead me, Father, to the true meaning. Let me understand. And God will open that door. That's another door. So I just, Brother Peter, I think it was fantastic tonight. Absolutely.
Well, I thank you, Brother. The truth is that I have men that are pillars in the church in our time and our era, and some of them are, years ago, I understand that they were told when they started preaching the truth in the manner that we teach and preach it, they were told that people, you know, would be offended and wouldn't come to listen, and, you know, that's not true. That's not true, and the problem is that a lot of preachers today are afraid to preach the truth of the gospel because they don't want to lose numbers or they don't want to hurt somebody's, and, you know, the word sermon itself means to stab, and so that you're in the world all week, and you get the world on you, and you've seen things you ought not to have seen, and you hear things you ought not to have heard, and you don't have to smoke a cigar to smell like one. All you have to do is get near somebody smoking it, and so we need to get charged up. We need in the middle of the week, on Thursday night at least, to come into church and Wednesday night service, and have us get to church on Sunday and get clean back up. You know, studying the word as we do and teaching the word, you know, that'll edify a brother and it'll help them grow and stay right. But preaching is what gets a man's heart right, and so we come here and we allow the Holy Spirit to do the teaching, and great men, Tom Malone, Dr. Vince Massa, Andrew Saussure, Jim Lynch, who's going on to be with the Lord, and I know people, you know, have a problem with Dr. Ruffman, and I got to be honest with you, I spent 26 years in prison, and he sent me more sound doc. Do I agree with everything Dr. Ruffman says? Of course not. Do I agree with everything Dr. Massa says? Of course not. As Dr. Massa used to say, you don't have to agree with me just when it's on the exam at the Bible Institute, you need to agree with me. But there are men out there, men in Delaware, Rocky Shanks and Pastor Fisher out here in Lighthouse Baptist Church, you Brother Andrew, there are men that God has placed in the world that are preaching forth the true sound doctrine. And, you know, we're having a Bible study now at my home, and what we're studying is what is the New Testament church, not what we've been taught it is by some church, not by other churches we've attended or denominations, but what does God say a New Testament church is? And then we need to conform our belief to the New Testament, because the Bible is the final word in faith and practice. And you're right. You're right what you said about studying the word. And I oftentimes people say, I don't have the time. I'm so busy. Listen, you have the time. I could read Psalm 1 to you in less than a minute. In less than a minute. So how could you not have time to read a psalm and put it in your heart for the rest of the day? You know what I'm saying, brother?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so I know you're down there in North Carolina, and you're an evangelist, and I know God's blessed you. And I also I know that I've seen you on YouTube, Andrew Ranhosky. I've seen you on YouTube, and it's great music, wonderful. I've seen pictures of you out there street preaching. And how's that going, brother?
Well, that's going wonderful. My wife has been sick for the last, 6 or 7 months, and I haven't been out there as much as I would. I think I had to stay home the last 2 months here with her. But she's coming along, and tomorrow's my first day out at the truck stop. But it's wonderful. What I do through Christ, he shows me what love is. Love the people. I love the people, and I show it. How are you doing today? May the Lord bless you. And, you know, they see it, and then they come up and they hear the music, which God has given me a selection of songs, you know, like One Day at a Time. Sweet Jesus. Take it one day at a time. That's the way my wife and I live. We do one day at a time. We believe in the Lord in our hearts, because he knows our hearts. You can't fool him, see? But going back to your Psalm 1, that was beautiful, Dr. Peter. That was really one. And the children. I have the greatest fun out on the streets with when the mamas are coming into the stores, you know, and they're bringing the little kids with their little chubby legs, and they're walking along trying to catch up with the mama, and she's got them by the hand, you know. See, that's love, love of a mother to the children. Well, God loves us that way, too. We're his children.
Amen.
So I hope that's saying something. I pray.
Yeah, it does. It does. It says a lot. And, you know, the nucleus family is really broken down. I was talking a few weeks ago to Bone Crusher Smith, the ex-heavyweight world champion boxer. And, you know, he's doing something for the veterans currently now, I believe, coming up soon. In June, I think he has a literary seminar for that. He usually puts on boxing camps, you know, to bring forth the Lord to the children. But he's been talking about literacy, and he's been talking about bringing forth a program to the veterans, children, who, you know, a lot of the veterans have been overseas, and their children haven't excelled in school because, you know, they're concerned about their fathers and their minds haven't been focused, and so he's trying to focus on that. In fact, this evening, if you were on the Internet and you went to our website, there's a picture on there of myself preaching, and then the second picture that comes up after that is Mount Soledad. And at Mount Soledad is the cross and the American flag, and then standing in front of that is the VFW Motorcycle Club. Now, listen, this is not a gang. This is a motorcycle club that spends time. They ride in the parades, and they raise funds for our veterans. They have a chaplain. He's a wonderful person. And you can see the pictures. Each one of those black squares is a picture of a war hero up there. And, you know, it's a shame that in America they're fighting to take that cross down from there, that it's a symbol of Christianity. And really the veterans are saying, you know, that cross is a symbol of suffering. Christ suffered on the cross. But, you know, the true argument is nobody can argue that that cross up there means just Christ Jesus. You know, hey, listen, the cross was being used in Egypt, and it was used all the way back to Babylon, and the pagans were using it for Tau, Usamaramis, and Nimrod. And so it goes all the way back to cross, so you know, if somebody took out the Christianity, then they'd be arguing against themselves. You know, that's like a person who's an atheist and spends his whole life trying to prove there's not a God. You know, why would you try to prove something that you don't believe in? Amen. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, well, you know, or Paul said, whether they're preaching out of contention or spite or whatever, you know, that the gospel is being preached. Amen. And God will use it for his glory. And so, you know, by the foolishness of preaching, not foolish preaching. Amen. And I enjoyed the subject of Psalm 1. I'm glad the Lord put it on my heart. And I certainly hope it was a blessing to other people. I had asked Brother Lewis to join us this evening. and I thought he was on the line. I don't know what happened, but, you know, I missed his company. I spoke with Brother Raymond today, and, you know, he's all about his business for the Lord. And so I just want to thank you, Brother Andy. I appreciate you being there. And, you know, your input's always spiritual, it's always wise, and it's always in the Lord. And I appreciate your wife, Nona. We've met her, we love her, and we're praying that the Lord would heal her and that, you know, we can continue on doing the work of the Lord, because the time is short. The time is short, and we need to preach the gospel. You know, I was in Imperial Beach, Brother Andy, speaking of street preaching, and I was driving down by the corner of Saturn and Palm Avenue, and I rolled up on the corner at the stoplight, and there was a fellow out there with a mega horn, and he was preaching the gospel, and there were young children running around with signs that said Jesus is coming and repent. And you know what? That's boldness, but it's also freedom of speech, and I know people get offended at that stuff, but maybe they ought to just stop and really listen to what they're saying. Amen? Because it's a matter of life and death, spiritually.
Yep. That's so true.
I don't believe in bullying anybody into the gospel.
Right.
Jesus Christ didn't believe that. But, you know, we're to go into all the world to preach the gospel. We don't whisper the gospel. We preach it. I had the one night I was with Brother Fred Doherty and Brother Lewis and myself, and we were up on the Rampart Lodge in Horton Plaza in downtown San Diego. And we went out on the street and we did some preaching, and we met a young lady there who was sitting, and she was going working her way through college. And I said to her, she had a guitar, and I said, "Do you know any Christian songs?" And she sang a song. And she started, and I said, "Well, who's the artist?" And she said, "Oh no, I wrote that song." And then we started, you know, we came back because we wanted to, you know, kind of draw people to us as they were walking by. And so we asked her to play some other Christian songs she knew, and we were handing out tracts, but the security guards came out and they told her, you know, you have to go. And she said, "Well, you know, I'm working my way through college, and I'm not bothering anybody, but you know what? Why are you bothering me?" And they said, "No, you have to go. You can't be out here." And so she left, and we got back upstairs. And so, to make a long story short, we're on the eighth floor of the Rampart Lodge, and I got up there, and I looked down, and I noticed that on the left side of the Rampart Lodge, that the parking garage, there was an apartment complex with probably 300 apartments, and it was summertime, and all the windows were open. And, you know, I just went over there, and the Lord put it on my heart, and I didn't have a megaphone. You know, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you can get some amplification. And that's why I tell people we don't need amplified Bible. God speaks loud enough. And so I got up there, you know, and gave him the message that, to repent, that the kingdom of God was at hand, and accept the man be born again. And so, and then the people were coming to the windows. And then I ran over to the other side. I was just having a ball in the Lord. And the brothers were shocked, you know. And I ran over the other side, and I caught them on the main street from the eighth floor. And they could hear me, and they were all looking up at the sky, but they couldn't see where the voice was coming from. And then we went through the ramparts on each floor. We stopped, and I preached a little bit. We went to the next level, and I preached some more. We went to the next level, and I preached some more. And then I got out and to the gate where you pay to leave, and the girl was sitting there who was a ticket taker, and she had this, she heard us from the beginning. She had this big smile on her face, and you know, we went through. Amen, brother. It's okay to have fun in the Lord.
That's for sure. And I wish more people, are you hearing me, Peter? Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, to have fun, that is show God's love. You can have fun showing God, being polite to people, loving to people, because they pick up on that right away. And I'm just amazed at what has happened in my ministry that God has given me to do through God's love. So study to show thyself approved each and every day. My wife and I have morning devotions here every morning to start the day off, to be glorified in God again and go about our business helping others.
You know,
so
brother,
go ahead.
That's an important thing, brother, that a lot of families don't have a daily devotional time. They don't sit with their children after, you know, evening meal or before bedtime, and just, even if you just read one scripture with the children and expound on it or a little story, they don't have that devotional time. They don't pray. They haven't taught their children how to pray. They don't kneel down with their children. And, you know, they're too busy. They come home from work and they you know, put the Lord aside. But those devotions, that time is very, very important. And you're right, and I'm sure that's a wonderful thing. My wife and I have devotions, and, you know, we have what we call the family altar. It's time for the family altar. Amen, brother.
Amen. That's great.
Well, what I'd like you to do for us now, brother, I'd like you to reach out for us into the audience, and maybe you can talk to those who are listening who are not saved, and maybe you could, those who are, maybe want to rededicate their lives, and maybe you could have a word for them. And I would appreciate that before we go off the air this evening.
Would you like me to start now?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you, Peter. God bless you. To those out there, wherever you may be here in the United States or overseas, I'm going to say one thing to you here right now. Today is your day. Today is your day out of all your life to come to the Lord today, because he loves you. And the more you understand him and the more you understand his word into permeated into your heart and soul, you will see. So repeat after me, whether you're brothers and sisters or non-Christians or what, this is your day to recapitulate your love for Christ even deeper. So just repeat after me. I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that came to earth for the salvation of mankind, died on the cross, and the third day he arose again. From this day forward, I will serve you, Lord. I will serve you in any form that you have me to go. I pray to you all out there to receive him tonight. If you have repeated the words I have said, you are saved. Find yourself a beautiful church and have a beautiful new year, a blessed new year. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen, brother. You know, I've heard the invitation given many, many times. And, Dr. Gibbs down there, he has a Christian Law Association in Florida. And, you know, he has a unique way of preaching. And I've heard his invitation, a wonderful invitation. And I think that one of the things that is skipped in the gospel message today when we bring forth the gospel message is, you know, everybody's a sinner. And everybody has to come to the cross. We're all on the same level when we get there. Nobody's above anybody else. It doesn't matter how much money you have when you come to the cross of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter whether you're poor or whether you're rich. God will accept your sacrifice. God will accept, you know, the sacrifice of your lips, which is praise. And that we need to, I think the first thing that people have to admit, and it's hard to get sometimes people even be honest with themselves, but we're all sinners, and we're all sinners. And the first thing we need to do is to realize that we're a sinner and then turn from our sins and then reach for Christ. I so many people have told me, I meet them on the street, Brother Andrew, and they say, you know, and they might be drunk and they might be doped up and you know, so many plights, homeless and all kinds of people. And you know, I've met some very intelligent homeless people who just choose to be homeless. But I've always tried to be honest with them. And when you can get them to be honest and they realize that they're a sinner and they need to turn from that sin, that's the first step.
Amen.
And the problem is this, that they seem to think that, and they've said this to me many times, Brother Andrew, they've said, Peter, I when I get cleaned up, when I get right, I'll go to church. And I tell them, no, brother, today is the day of salvation. You may be cleaning up and the Lord may come and you'll be there alone. You'll end up in hell if you die. Tomorrow's not promised. Listen, some guys climb up a 3-foot ladder, fall down and get up. Some guys fall off a 3-foot ladder and they die. I don't know why. But today, tomorrow's not promised. Listen, America's become the land of sudden death. You don't even know when you go to a movie theater if you're going to get shot. You don't know when you're driving.
That's for sure.
Like they're going to be off the highway. Tomorrow's not promised. There wasn't a person that went into those buildings in 911 that thought they were going to die that day. Well, we're not going home. They didn't write letters before they got there. And you know what? They got there, and death found them. And so today's the day of salvation. Today you need to reach out for Jesus Christ. Tomorrow, don't worry about cleaning up. Jesus is going to help you clean up. Just put your faith in Christ and receive Christ, his sacrifice on that cross for you. He died because he loves you. He understands you. He says, put your yoke upon me. He's not talking about eggs. He's talking about oxen. And when you pull a yoke of oxen, there's two oxen or four or more, and they pull equally. And so if you're a little weak, the other one can pull for you. And so you don't put a donkey, you don't put a donkey and an oxen in the yoke. You put two of a kind, and they pull together. And Jesus says, come to me, put your yoke upon me, for my yoke is easy. Jesus wants to help you through your life. He wants to pull with you. Just put your faith in Christ. Amen. I'm not selling you the gospel. I'm not marketing the gospel. You're listening to men who have spent years serving the Lord Jesus Christ, and men and people and children that God has transformed their lives because they submitted to God, and they just got tired of the life they were living and the sin and the wretchedness. And day after day, I'm going to get better, or I'll wait till I clean up, and I'm an addict. And hey, listen, every life, every addiction is a choice. You don't have to choose to be addicted. If you don't have power in your life, then you need to come to Jesus Christ, receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, confess to him, I'm powerless to kick this addiction of alcohol. I'm powerless to kick this addiction of drugs. Help me, God. In Jesus, I receive Jesus Christ. I believe he died for my sins. Like Brother Andrew said, receive Christ. Pray that prayer. Repent and mean it. And know that God's going to do something in your life. He says over in the book of Romans, he says, whosoever shall call upon me,
mm-hmm.
whosoever shall call upon my name shall be saved. You know what? What's he talking about? Saving you from sin. I met a corrections officer one time, told me, he told his father, he came home, he got saved. He said, Dad, I got saved. And he said, well, that works for you. And he says, no, Dad, it works for you too. He says, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. That means you too. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. My goodness, but you make the choice. God's given you a choice. He didn't make us wind-up dolls. Nobody has to choose to go to hell. It's a real place. It's for real. Christ died to let you know that you don't have to go there.
Amen.
Well, I want to thank you, brother, and I appreciate the time you've given us. I want to thank my wife, Marilyn, for all she puts up with me during the week and preparing for the show and making sure I get to where I have to go. You know, a few weeks ago, Brother Raymond and I did a broadcast, Brother Andy, and I was went out somewhere and I couldn't get back to the house because of traffic, and Brother Raymond was trying to get back in the car, and I thought, we had to start broadcasting. I had to call Brother Lewis to bail me out. I said, Brother Lewis, I got to believe it. And I called you, and I said, Brother Andy, I need your help, and I want to thank you, brothers, for always being there for me. I certainly appreciate that.
Thank you.
The Lord bless you. Hello.
I'm honored. I'm really honored to hear the true word of God being preached. You know, God has blessed you, and that's for sure.
Well, Brother, I'm not deserving of it. I did nothing in my life that was deserving. I was a very, very wretched man, and I lived, if you've ever heard of a man given totally over to his flesh, that was me. And the only good part of Peter is Jesus Christ, and the only transforming power in my life is Jesus Christ. You know, I spent 26 years in prison, and prison is a place that they made, built places like that for guys like me. And Andrew Soucy, I was visiting his church in Metairie, Louisiana, and he was preaching after I had given my testimony, and he told the people, you know why Brother Peter had to go to prison for 27 years? Because he needed it. He needed it. And amen, you know, and God knew I needed it. And I'm telling, if there's people listening out here and you're living outside of the authority of God, God will put you under an authority you will obey. You may not obey the authority of God, but God will put you under an authority. And when those handcuffs go on and those doors slam, you know, and you say it might not happen to you, I'm only going to have one drink. Hey, listen, you can leave the bar and drive down the street and run somebody over accidentally, and they come over and smell that alcohol on you, and you'll be in prison for manslaughter, and it could happen to any person. You know, it only takes 1 second of wrong judgment. And so mm-hmm. you're going to life to Jesus Christ. One of the other problems, Brother Andrew, is that some people think that the Bible is nothing but a set of rules. It's all about
Yeah, I know. I've gone through that.
Because I don't need that book to be good. Listen, I didn't need this book to be good. I needed this book to have a relationship with God. It tells me how to have a relationship with my Lord and Savior. And he loves
what? One-to-one relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And once you get that, you'll see. You'll
Amen.
See the depth of your preaching, Peter, you know, and that's the thing. Go to a church, people out there. Get yourself in a church that preaches the true word of God. And if you have any questions, go home and study it yourself. And if the pastor has said something wrong, go see him privately and say, well, this is what it says here. See? So study to show thyself approved. This is the thing, to be more like Christ, loving and kind to others. Forgive those who spitefully use you, saith the Lord. Pray for them. See? Okay, Peter, thank you very much.
Well, I don't know that you have a good evening, and the Lord bless you, and I'm going to pray us out. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your blessings tonight, for the opportunity to bring forth your word, Lord. And I thank you for the hearts that you've touched tonight and the minds for the wonderful blessings you've given us to allow us to have the children come and do a special for us, J.P. Alba, to do the opening sermon and prayer. And we just thank you, listeners, that God, that you would bless the listeners and that you would heal those who are sick and that are ill and lonely. And Lord, I met a fellow last night, God, and we prayed with him in the street. And, Father, I ask you to bless him and his child and their life and help them physically, financially, mentally, and emotionally. And any of the listeners out here, Father God, that have been faithful and those, Lord, who look to you, Father, look upon us, Father, with pity and mercy as a bird looks to the hand of the feeder, Father. We just humbly bow before you and seek your mercy and your kindness and your forgiveness, Father. And God, for those of us who haven't been right, you just forgive us, God, and just help us, guide us. Let us hear that small, soft voice of the Holy Spirit leading us. And I thank you, Father, for Nathan, and I thank you for the opportunity to come on here as a guest and to bring the guests on. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, Brother Nathan, we thank you, brother. Good night, Andy.
Good night.
Tell everywhere I go. my life and my salvation. Of my life, and whom shall I be afraid? And that's why I praise Him for His amazing grace. I take time out every day and sing, "Worthy is He." Hallelujah. About it sometimes. He's worthy. Praise your name, Jesus. I praise.